Hello and welcome to the Dietitian Mindset Podcast. I am your host, Jesse McGinley, a registered dietitian who specializes in sports nutrition. The intention of this podcast is to cultivate more conversation and awareness around the field of nutrition and dietetics to elevate the profession as a whole. Conversations will not only be surrounded around the progression of dietetics, but also the mindset shift that occurs with behavior change, how to evolve as a professional within the sports world, how to collaborate amongst an interdisciplinary team, and approaches, perspectives, and research from others in the field. I hope as listeners, you leave each conversation inspired and open to a new perspective. And with that being said, enjoy today's episode. All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Dietitian Mindset Podcast. I have a guest here that I'm really excited about talking with today, Abby, a performance dietitian for the Denver Nuggets. So welcome, Abby.
Glad to have you here. Thank you. Excited to be here.
Sweet. So today we're kind of going to get into like Abby's background and everything that she does within the MBA structure. So Abby, like, let's hear a little bit about your background and what you do and your path to get to where you are.
Yeah. So I grew up on the East Coast outside of Philadelphia, played sports, just about every sport growing up, went to Penn State for undergrad and studied nutrition science there. I was also on the rowing team there. I had never rowed before I got to campus, but you can't tell from Zoom, but I'm 6'1". So if you're tall, you make a good rower. Basically senior year, I was just thinking about this. Like I didn't apply. I didn't even know what dietetic internships were my senior year. I just kind of figured, got a degree in nutrition.
Literally same.
So it's a little delayed in the whole, what are the next steps? But I got lucky. I had volunteered in the sports nutrition department under Dr. Christine Clark at Penn State, who was, I see as one of like the OG dietitians in the field. In my senior year, she recommended me for just like an unpaid internship with the USA field hockey team, which was based in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, not too far from where I grew up. So the year after I graduated, I volunteered about 20 hours a week with the USA field hockey team. And that was really helpful just in helping me to understand like, okay, first, very much enjoy this, but also I think I can make a career out of this. I just need maybe a little bit more education and experience. So after that year of volunteering, I ended up applying to dietetic internships in grad school once I learned a little bit more and was accepted to the combined program at Florida State where I got my master's in exercise physiology. They have like an emphasis in sports nutrition there and then just continued to get experience, worked with athletes at Florida State as one of my rotations. I did an internship at Exos in Phoenix, Arizona for 5 months or so. And then when I finished all my rotations, clinical, community food service, I again was trying to figure out, well, what do I do next? And I was accepted to a seasonal internship in the NFL with the Bears, under Jen Gibson, who to this day, I just got off a call with her this morning, is my mentor and a great friend. And she, it was really in that experience where it was a full season with the team where I think I learned so much more in that year than I did from all of school. It's kind of how I see it just in terms of practical experience. After that season was, I don't know, 26 or 27 by then, kicked off my parents' health insurance. So I was looking for a full-time job and was able to land a full-time position back at Exos in Phoenix, Arizona, where I had previously interned during grad school. Was there for about 2 years and then COVID hit and every other month we opened and closed and had a job, didn't have a job. So started kind of looking around then and was approached by a virtual company that had reached out to ask me to contract with them. And kind of the first time they reached out, I was like, no, like I'll have a job next month. I'm hopeful. And then I didn't. And I was like, all right, let's talk. I'm definitely interested in whatever you have to say. And that was a great experience. I learned a lot about just, you know, building up a company, but also just getting more experience kind of counseling one-on-one and virtual, where you're not around the individual as often. That virtual experience also allowed me to move from Phoenix to Denver, where I spent a little bit of time in Colorado after grad school. Love it here. Hope to never leave here. But I reached out to a sports medicine company as well that I had some contacts at to see if they were looking to hire a dietitian. They brought me on as a PRN dietitian, so I was kind of doing the virtual gig in that. And then also had just kept in contact with Brian Snyder. He was at the Broncos back when I had interned at the Bears. And he was still here when I got back to Colorado. So I reached out to him and was like, hey, I'm in the area. I'm contracting. Do you need any help? Or he was also working with, I think, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, and the Rockies a little bit here and there. I was like, if you need help with anything, training camp, anything, like, let me know.
Yeah, the team.
Yes. Like, sign me up. But he eventually reached out to me mentioning that the Nuggets were looking for a contractor. So that's kind of how I got connected with them, contracted with them my first season while also doing the virtual company and the sports medicine company. And then my second season, which was last season, they brought me on full time. So I've been just with one job for a couple years, which has been great. And that's where I am currently. So
yeah,
fun ride all around the country, but hopefully never leaving Colorado anymore.
Yeah, no, it's so funny. I talk to like students and like younger dietitians, like, so often about this, that like I was not a dietitian that was like, I am going to a dietetic internship and I'm doing this, like, similar to your background, like, and
so no,
yeah, no idea. I had no idea like the steps. And so I think it just is like, it speaks worlds that like getting your foot in the door with like the volunteering and like making connections with like mentors in the field, and like Jen Gibson and Brian Snyder are like amazing contacts, number one, but like, yeah, just finding people that you can just really lean on, number one, and then, yeah, you never know where that's going to take you.
Absolutely. I totally agree. It's been, I'm very thankful for all the experiences that I've had, and I really feel like every experience kind of led me to the next, which
100%
has worked out well.
Yeah. What would you say, like, in terms of like volunteering, like, I think the field is kind of changing this a little, yeah, bit with the models, oh, and, yeah, the fellowships and getting a little bit more monetary, like, yeah, payment to volunteers, absolutely, which is amazing to see. But for those, I mean, it's still, there's still some aspects of true volunteer experiences. Like, what would you, right, speak on that? Like the value of those experiences?
Yes, great question. I mean, when I volunteered with the USA field hockey team, that was for a full year, unpaid, and I was giving them 15, 20 hours a week. I lived at home that year. So I graduated college, moved back in with my parents, which, not ideal, but saved up money. And what I also did at the same time was I was a nanny for a family in my hometown for 20, 30, 40 hours a week. And they knew that I was volunteering and they were very flexible with that schedule. So it's just like finding something that works for you. Nannying has nothing to do with nutrition, but it helped me save up to be able to then afford going to grad school. Not all of grad school, obviously, but like, yeah, it gives you the flexibility. Yeah. It's like you find other ways, like maybe you're volunteering and you have a side job that's not nutrition related and that's okay. But that volunteer experience, it was having that on my resume and building those connections that I think when I applied to schools, I got into Florida State, which at the time was one of the only sports nutrition specific programs. So I think it's, if I was applying with just volunteering at Penn State during undergrad, I don't think I would have gotten into Florida State. I think you need to kind of show like, hey, I'm willing to put in the effort, but there's always going to be other ways to make money to kind of sustain when, you know, even if you're volunteering like a couple hours a week, like that's, you have time to do things outside of that. So I think whether it's volunteering at like a local high school, if you're trying to get, you know, your foot in the door, I think any type of experience shows that you're willing to kind of think outside the box and get different experiences for sure.
Yeah. No, I mean, I worked at a coffee shop when I like volunteered and kind of built my, right, resume and grad school. So it's like, I think the facade of like when you, this field in general, I think a lot of medical fields like can kind of piggyback, but this one in particular, like to kind of build your toolbox, it's growing, which is really, again, really great to see. But you kind of have to like seek those opportunities and kind of like be open to all of the, right, different paths. And I was like late 20s until I got like the full-time gig. So it's like, right? It's not like out the gate. Like some people get lucky. I won't say it's black or white, but
for sure.
But yeah, just being open. So like now being with the Nuggets, and I know y'all are in a crazy playoff run right now, but what, just for those that might not know what that looks like, or I mean, I get the question all the time, like, what do you do as a dietitian? So like, what is, what is your role, or like, what are systems that you've built with that team?
Yeah. So I kind of think of it as like off season, in season, very different what I do. Not even off season, more like preseason. Preseason is very nutrition specific, where we do blood work on everyone. We'll review those results and then put together individualized supplement packages for each of the guys for throughout the season. We'll do things like sweat sodium testing through Gatorade. So it's very individualized, kind of getting like baseline measures, very nutrition specific. In season, the NBA is an 82 game season. We played over 100 games last season. So it's a lot of games, which just kind of comes with the territory. It's a lot of catering, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
I was kind of lucky enough, the way that I was brought on from being a contractor to full-time, the team was up front and saying like, hey, we currently pay a company to coordinate all of our meals on the road. We'll bring you up full-time and be able to kind of pay you full-time if you do that. And I knew at the time, I was like, that's going to be a lot, but that's the reality of kind of what the NBA is. And it's the way you kind of think of it is like, if you're able to have so much influence over what they're eating, if you are impacting that many meals, pretty much every meal they eat is either at our home facility or away at the hotels, arenas on the road. So it's, we're really around the meals that we provide all the time. So are you able to kind of influence them a lot? It's kind of what I tell myself when I'm like on menu 350 for the season. I'm like, this is helping. I would say the main thing in season, but there's also a lot of things throughout the season, whether it's just depending on the guy, like I'll work with a lot of guys, private chefs. If they have particular body composition goals, I'll work with those chefs on specific portions for the guys, or if they're experiencing injury, specific just recommendations for them for the meals that the maybe chef outside of the facility is providing. Also a lot of just kind of like one-on-one either injury support, or luckily we haven't had a lot of that this season, but also body composition support, whether it's just as I say that, just a lot of, you know, hey, we've got a rookie that either needs to put on weight, or we'd like him to lean out, or just small recommendations like that, where it's really just like a maintenance goal of how can I support them without really changing their routine, but to kind of keep the coach's recommendations kind of in the back of my mind, how can I support them? And then I think the last thing in season that we really push is recovery, just knowing it's an 82 game season. So making sure the guys have what they need when they've got a back-to-back game, or they've got 10 back-to-back games in the season like we've had so far. So it's really a big push for recovery and just making sure they have what they need, whether it's, you know, pushing things like tart cherry after a game, or we've put together just different kind of immune support packs for the guys, which have gone really well this season. And I think as a partial result, we've had a lot more games lost due to illness, just because guys are a little bit more bought in than maybe in past seasons for some of the extra stuff we do. So looks very different day to day. We found out our schedule the night before for the next day. So it is very much just kind of keep yourself on your toes. You might have a day off. You might be going in. You're not sure. But every day is totally different, which I honestly really like. I think it keeps it fun, keeps it interesting. So I guess that's a summary a little bit.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. I think it kind of just sums up like working like in sports, just in general, to be honest, like it's a, like in most settings, like it is a very variable schedule. And working with one team, I could see the benefit of like really focusing on that off season implementation. And then in season, you're kind of just managing everything, right?
For sure.
The maintenance. Yes. So what have you thought, like, you kind of mentioned like the guys are more bought into certain systems and everything. And I've kind of experienced that in certain ways too, but like from what your philosophy or opinion is, like, what is the most effective way to enhance that buy-in, even from like a pro on a pro level?
Yeah. I think for me personally, my philosophy is really just understanding where the guys are at and kind of meeting them there and helping to educate them from there to where they would like them to be. But in terms of meeting them where they're at, like our roster ranges from, I think, age 19 to 35, and there's only 15, 17 guys on the team. So it's a small group with a wide range. It's not like I even think NFL is a smaller age gap. College, obviously, a 4 to 5 year gap. But we've got some guys that are, a couple years ago, we had a rookie who his mom moved out here and cooked most of his meals at home. So it was more like, hey, I think it's best to provide support to mom who's doing the grocery shopping, who's doing the cooking, to help the rookie kind of meet the needs that the coaches were asking of him. Other examples, like we've got 2A players that our G League team is in Grand Rapids, Michigan. So it's other side of the country. And when they go out there, a lot of times they're staying in, you know, small apartments or hotels. They're not coming home and cooking, you know, a full meal for themselves. A lot of it is delivery. So understanding their situation and then making recommendations of like, okay, what kind of foods do you usually go for? And then looking up in Grand Rapids, like here's a couple of restaurants that are on Uber Eats or Postmates, or if, you know, God forbid you go drive and pick it up, you know, that gives you more options. But just kind of understanding the situation, you know, we've got 35-year-olds with a wife and 3 kids at home that have a private chef. So is it working with their private chef? Or to be honest, a lot of our vets, like they're just, they've got their system down. That's probably who I work the least with, because they've been in the league for 15 years. So they know what they're doing, what works well for them. They're really, really good leaders for our younger guys and kind of just staying, figuring out what works for you and kind of staying with that throughout the season. So I think for me, it's just understanding like, what is their situation? Did they have roommates? Are they cooking at home, or are they ordering Chipotle after every game, as some guys do? So it's just understanding that. And then from there, like, how can you educate them on like, here's suggestions I'm making and here is why, here's suggestions I'm providing to your mom, and understanding like, or explaining to him, here's why I'm recommending these foods at these times or these snacks, things like that. So just kind of helping them, but then also like trying to help them understand the why behind it, I think is really important.
Oh, for sure. I think there's a couple of things from that are great to kind of highlight, just like being just realistic. Honestly, like knowing the situation and just being realistic and finding that like happy medium of like, it wouldn't be realistic to tell the guys in Grand Rapids, Michigan, or like in the G League to like, you know, do something crazy or like that you would with the vet who has a private chef, like a very different situation. So just kind of figuring out the realistic situation is the highlight. And then also just like having your vets buy in. Not buy in, but just like having that routine and that example, like huge. Like, have they kind of helped kind of reiterate your messages and everything? Or
I don't even think nutrition specific, but I think just kind of how they, like we had a kind of a recovery regen day yesterday, the day before, can't remember, but we had vet players come in that did not need to be there, but like even them just showing up on an optional day. The younger guys see that and they're like, okay, he's been in the league for so many years. Like, he's obviously doing something right. But I think just leading by example and like showing up when it's optional for recovery, for treatment, you know, they're not going and playing basketball on those days, but just showing up and showing the importance of like taking care of your body if you want to have a long career in the league. And I think it goes for nutrition. It goes for, you know, strength and conditioning, recovery, all of it. But I think it's just kind of like the leading by example and showing up that's really helpful for some of our younger players that are, you know, still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, no, that's a good way to put it. And like speaking on the different areas, especially with recovery and everything, like how is like the collaboration with your staff, or how do you collaborate with your staff, and what does that really look like from someone that has no idea how we kind of collaborate with strength conditioning or our athletic trainers or docs or anything? So how do you specifically do that?
Yeah, so we have, I feel like we're really lucky. We have 3 strength and conditioning coaches. We had 2 the first year that I started, and they were already implementing nutrition. It's really I report to the director of strength and conditioning, and he's the one that really was bought into nutrition before I even joined the team. And it was the one that was vouching to have a dietitian on staff and to then bring them on full time. So I'm very lucky in the sense that I've got that support from the start. But I think even, you know, they were implementing nutritional on the road. So I travel sometimes. I don't travel often, which I think is maybe an unpopular opinion. I know that there's good reason for dietitians to travel. And I know there's a lot that really try to push to have dietitians travel full time. But I kind of feel like I was in a unique situation where the strength coaches on the road were already providing pre-workouts situations that I would recommend, hydration recommendations, like basically everything they were doing is what I would have recommended already. That's kind of how on par they are with like what my recommendations would be. And they're really just really good at when I do make additional recommendations or suggestions, they're open to it. And then they're helping to implement that on the road because it's, you don't need three strength coaches and a dietitian to all be there to do the same thing. Strength coaches obviously have a lot more going on the road. But it's like, if they're already doing it, why fix that? And that also gives me a lot more time to then plan all of the meals, which takes up, that's really like when they're away, that's when I do the bulk of the planning. So it just helps me to kind of keep a little bit of balance there, I think, but they're just so helpful in being able to implement things on the road, and then at home, I'll help them kind of do the same. But it's a small team, high performance team of maybe 7 or 8 people. But we're all on the same page, and good communication just kind of helps to, you know, call out if guys are having digestive issues or injuries, like just kind of keeping everyone on the same page of how we can all support them.
Yeah, I think there's a huge mindset shift that you kind of even echoed, and even like some dietitians would feel a type of way of even just like what you just kind of said, like letting a strength coach kind of just like do the role, right?
Yeah.
But like there is a balance there, and there's some like beauty there, to be honest with you, like with like allowing like strength coaches do have a lot of knowledge, like general knowledge of nutrition and physiology, and it's really helpful to work in tandem with them as opposed to like having a power struggle. So like finding that balance, I think is huge. How would you say to like shift perspective or like mindset? It kind of goes like with hand in hand with all of these topics that we're kind of talking about, like shift perspective and mindset with like potential solutions for athletes or even like staff members that might be a little resistant to like implementing new things. Like, and you might've answered it earlier, but like how would you approach those things?
I think, just echoing a little bit of what I mentioned earlier, understanding the athlete, just to think of an example we had, like when we do the blood work in preseason, I remember we had one athlete that was very, very low vitamin D levels, also history of injury. So just really a red flag in my mind of like, we really want to help this athlete to optimize his levels. So we made, you know, the recommendations, here's your supplements, and then he just wasn't taking them. So it's understanding like, okay, I just had a conversation like, what's up? Do you not like them? And he's like, I don't like taking pills. And I was like, oh, that's great to know. Okay. And so it was, at first it was, you know, I don't want to take all of these pills. And it was maybe like 3 or 4. But then luckily,
I've heard that.
It's not a ton, but I was like, all right, I get that. And then recognizing that the vitamin D was the most impactful in what we were recommending for him. Luckily, it was the smallest pill. So I was like, if anything, just take this one, the one small pill, the rest we can do without. So that was, we did that for a little bit, but I think just kind of the taking pills really was a thing for him. So then we switched to liquid vitamin D, which tastes like citrus sour candy. So it's just kind of like figuring out like, why are they not doing something or why are they doing something? And then kind of getting creative with how can we help him, whether it's putting liquid vitamin D in a shake or just kind of having a shooter of it. But he's a lot more open to doing that than taking pills. So just going back to kind of meeting them where they're at. And I think with coaches, again, I feel like I've gotten so lucky just on the teams that I've worked in, but our coaching staff is probably like more bought into nutrition than our players in a sense, where, I mean, I think, I don't want to say that makes a guy sound bad, but
no, I get it.
Staff, they have tons of great questions, to the point where like we've got coaches or supporting staff asking about like continuous glucose monitors. Like they are dialed in on nutrition. But I think it does help too, where kind of just by design or really lack of space. I don't have an office. So my office is the meal room, essentially, or the lounge or whatever you want to call it, but where everyone eats their food and hangs out. So I just kind of post up at a table there every day. And I think just being available and being around, that's helped to really pull a lot of the questions out, where it's to the point where like I'm walking in and there's a rookie sitting there and he'll just fire off like, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? And I'm like, good morning, but like, sure, let's talk about it. So it's, I think just being around has really helped. Same with coaches. Like they'll see me in the walk up and be like, do you have a minute? Or like after practice, do you have a minute? I'm like, whenever, like let's chat whenever. And I think that's helped to really just open up conversation, but then kind of keep it going as well. When people sit down and realize kind of what I can help them with or what questions I can answer, they're like, oh, I've got more questions. I'll be back. So I think just being available to it has been really helpful.
Yeah. And it like, I personally have seen a shift with like the more presence and more integration. Like it's just like you're around more and then you're part of the staff more. And then, like you said, those like little tiny questions that seem so trivial actually are like super impactful and actually start a little cascade of like, oh,
for sure.
Wait, Abby, what about this? Wait, what about this? So,
yep.
No, that's awesome.
Absolutely.
So kind of just the last little question here would be, what would be your best advice to younger RDs, especially those like interested in the sports world, or even just like, if you were to look back at your younger self, like what advice would you give?
Yeah. I think one thing, I guess the biggest thing I would recommend or most impactful is just to get a variety of experience. And by that, I mean a variety of different environments. Like I've worked in team settings. I've worked in a training facility. I've worked in like a virtual startup company. And I've learned different things from all different settings. Also just working with a variety of people. At Exos, it's really unique where under one roof, we've got strength and conditioning, physical therapy, nutrition, athletic training, and a chef. So it's like I learn more in those years about all the other people that I typically work around. So I feel like when I got to the Nuggets, I understand more about what everyone else does around me and kind of how we can work together, as well as just getting a variety of experience working with different types of athletes, whether it's male, female, you know, team sport versus individual sport. Again, at Exos, I think I worked with like a table tennis player, an Olympic skeleton, which I literally had to Google because I didn't know what that was before. So I'm like Googling YouTube videos before our consult to be like, what is this sport? What are maybe the demands of this sport? And then like allowing the athlete to teach me. I just full out was like, explain to me what you do and like what's helpful to be an athlete in your sport. So I think it's really helpful just to get the variety of in every sense. And it helps you figure out too, like, what do you enjoy? What do you maybe not enjoy as much? Where do you want to live? Like I was living in seven different states in probably 7 years at one point just to get different experiences. But I realized where I want to be and maybe where I don't want to be. So I think it's helpful in more than just like our career, but even just like in life of understanding, you know, what you kind of want.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. I think there's so much value found in like a variety of experiences, even tying it back to like volunteering at different places and learning how to, it just opened your perspective to like being a little bit more flexible when you finally find what works and all of those things, you kind of lean on that perspective. So that's sure. That's pretty awesome insight. So if you have any questions or in terms of our listeners, like thank you for joining for another episode. And then Abby, where can people find you or connect with you if they have questions or?
Yeah. So I'm not really on social media. I have like a personal social media Instagram account, but I don't really do much nutrition there. But I do have an LLC just for kind of the side gigs that roll through. And it's power10nutrition.com. Power 10 is a rowing reference from back in the day. But that's just my website where you can, my email's on there. You can message me through the website, especially students. If you have questions, I'm always happy to hop on a call and chat. But that'll be the best way to reach me.
Sweet. Yeah. And I will put all of that in the show notes for people to find you. But thank you again, Abby, for your time perspective and mindset. Really enjoyed having you. So
yeah, thank you again. This is great.
All right. We will see you on the next episode. And thanks for listening.
Sounds good.